A reading from Genesis chapter 2. Then the Lord God said, "It is not good that the man should be alone. I will make a helper fit for him." So out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every bird of the heavens and brought them to the man to see what he would call them. And whatever the man called every living creature, that was its name. The man gave names to all livestock, and to the birds of the heavens, and to every beast of the field. But for Adam, there was not found a helper fit for him. So the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon the man, and while he slept, took one of his ribs, and closed up its place with flesh. And the rib that the Lord God had taken from the man he made into a woman, and brought her to the man. Then the man said, "This at last is bone of my bones, and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and his mother and hold fast to his wife, and they shall become one flesh." And the man and his wife were both naked, and were not ashamed. O Lord, have mercy on us.
Thanks be to God.
A reading from 1 Peter chapter 3. Likewise, wives, be subject to your own husbands, so that even if some do not obey the word, they may be won without a word by the conduct of their wives, when they see your respectful and pure conduct. Do not let your adorning be external, the braiding of hair, the wearing of gold, or the putting on of clothing, but let your adorning be the hidden person of the heart, with the imperishable beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which in God's sight is very precious. For this is how the holy women who hoped in God used to adorn themselves, by submitting to their husbands. As Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord. And you are her children if you do good and do not fear anything that is frightening. Likewise, husbands, live with your wives in an understanding way, showing honor to the woman as the weaker vessel, since they are heirs with you of the grace of life, so that your prayers may not be hindered. O Lord, have mercy on us.
Thanks be to God.
In many and various ways, God spoke to his people of old by the prophets.
But now, in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. After reflecting on the many saints of God who lived by faith, the author of Hebrews continued, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us." The saints are witnesses, not as if they were seated in some grand stadium, looking down on us racing around the track. Rather, they are witnesses to the faithfulness of God, people who by their lives continue to testify that the Lord delivers those who trust in him. He rescues all who cry to him. No one who trusts in him will be put to shame. The testimony comes to us from the saints of Scripture, David, Job, and Mary Magdalene, but also from other believers down through the time, pastors and martyrs, and many others who trusted the Lord as they applied themselves to the various vocations he had given them. Our reflecting on the saints can strengthen our faith as we see God's grace revealed in their lives
and know that he sustains his people in every circumstance. We are also given an example of how, even as they face difficulties and frustrations, these brothers and sisters of ours in Christ continue to love their neighbor and trust in God. The saint whom we commemorate today is not a pastor like Nicholas, nor someone who was martyred like Lucia. As a matter of fact, there is a great portion of the church that doesn't have her on their calendar at all. Katharina von Bora Luther is a saint who is remembered primarily in her callings as wife and mother. A note on this. Earlier this week, I was listening to a podcast concerning Charles Dickens' Christmas Carol. One of the side notes brought my attention to something of which I really hadn't thought before. The vocation of homemaker is a product of the Industrial Revolution. Before there were factories and husbands were taken out of the home and went to work somewhere, husbands and wives, along with their children, participated in the family's business together. Whether they operated a farm, or a store, or a tavern, or a cooperage, every member of the family, according to his or her ability, was involved in the activities that sustained the household and brought it income. Such was certainly the case in the Luther home. In her roles as wife and mother, Katharina was certainly a homemaker, but in a very expansive way. From the age of 5 or 6, Katharina had lived in a convent. At age 16, after some 7 years as a postulant, she took the vows that made her a nun. When she and a number of fellow nuns came to understand the gospel via the writings of Martin Luther, they solicited his assistance for escape from the convent. In all, 9 nuns made their way to Wittenberg, where Luther arranged for them to return to their families or help them find husbands. 2 years after this, 41-year-old Luther, who had resisted the idea of marriage because he feared that he might be soon arrested and put to death, finally agreed to marry the remaining former nun, 26-year-old Katharina. Though not the first Lutheran pastor to be married, Martin and Katharina were the most prominent pastor and wife in the Evangelical Reformation, and are credited with having set the pattern of what would become the Protestant parsonage. Some might suggest that a woman would have to be a saint to put up with Martin Luther as a husband, and in many ways they wouldn't be wrong. But it's clear that Katharina and Martin were devoted to one another. In fact, reflecting on the Lord's creation of Eve from Adam's side, which we heard read earlier, Luther affectionately referred to Katharina as Kitty, my rib. He was convinced that Katharina was the one God had fashioned for him. Katharina was a wife and mother. God bless the couple with 6 children. But much more. Lutheran acknowledges this in addressing his letters to her. One reads, "To my kind and dear mistress of the house, Luther's Katharina von Bora, a preacher, a brewer, a gardener, and whatever else she is capable of doing." In a letter to a friend and colleague, Luther wrote, "My Lord Katie sends greetings. She drives the wagon, takes care of the fields, buys and puts cattle out to pasture, brews, etc. In between, she has started to read the Bible, and I have promised her 50 gulden if she finishes before Easter. She is very serious and is now starting the book of Deuteronomy." Luther also addresses Katharina as a highly learned woman, a doctor, the lady of Zollsdorf, where they owned and she operated a small farm, and a judge at the pig market at Wittenberg. She managed a household that had a dozen or more guests or boarders almost constantly, oversaw the family's finances. Luther tended to be more generous than was prudent, and was a confidant to her husband in matters concerning the Reformation. In all of these things, Katharina is an example of the dignity and responsibility of the vocations of wife and mother. Her transition from being a nun, supposedly serving God by living a cloistered life, earning merits from him for her chastity and prayer, to devoting herself to her husband and family, reflects very well the calling each one of us has from God, to serve him not by some self-defined good works, but rather by living in faith toward him and as we love and help our neighbor in our normal daily tasks. In her diligent work for and dedicated service to her husband and family, Katharina was reflecting the sort of instructions the apostles give to husbands and wives in 1 Peter 3 and in the 5th chapter of Ephesians. In our day, when marriage as God created it to be in the beginning is broadly attacked and demeaned, both in what is said about it and done in regard to it, Katharina von Bora Luther provides an example of a life of faith in the ordinary and everyday routine of living. The Lord bless you, each in your own callings, to reflect the example of Katharina, that you too would lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and run with endurance whatever your station in life, wherever the Lord has placed you, the race that is set before you, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of your faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. In Jesus' name, amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord, to life everlasting. Thank you.